We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
We are live. Welcome to the RGDFS Tournament Takes Podcast, Week 18 edition. I am here, Chris Kirkwood, screen name Kirk D's, with my two boys, as usual, for our final show, I believe. I don't know, but I don't think we're doing playoff stuff. We'll find out. But regardless, I think this is the final show. And man, what a season, right? They've kind of crept up on us, didn't it, guys? But I'm here with Bobby Gomes at Bobby Gomes DFS and JSU Reb from Run Pure Sports at JSU Reb to talk about this week 18 motivation is what it's all about. Slate, you know, throw out all the old rules, the totals and everything, because we got to figure out who's going to actually be on the field. Right, guys? So what's going on? How you doing,
Bobby? I'm good. You know, this whole like week 18 slate, it's kind of all about trying to find the teams that have something to play for and really focusing on those teams. I know like the whole like incentives are always a big thing with week 18, but that's like everyone's on those things, the guys that have like incentives and stuff like that. But for me, I just want to focus on teams and games that teams have something to play for. Teams are still playing for something, and I want to be less on teams that could rotate starters and bench guys and maybe sit their starters at after half or whatever. I want to focus on the teams that, you know, are going to play their starters a full game, you know, as long as, you know, they are still in it and stuff like that. And that's how I'm, you know, going to attack this week 18 slate. And hopefully we can get on the right path here on the show.
What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, I feel the same way. Just following news is always really important on week 18 slates. Obviously, there's a bunch of situations we need to look out for. We'll get you guys up to date on those. And, yeah, ready to hop into this week 18. Fun doing the show with you guys this year. So, looking forward to finishing out strong.
Yeah, hopefully. I had a bad week last week, I think. No, I did fine on Yahoo. But this week is usually pretty profitable. But it's also, I mean, there's a ton of variance, right? Like, so, like you guys said, we want to hone in on the spots where we feel the most confident that these guys are going to be going all out to play. And we know what we can count on, because it takes two to tango, right? So we've got like situations where like the Eagles do need to play, and so should be playing all their starters, but they're playing the Giants, who so it's going to be their backups, which should be their backups, you know, because they have absolutely nothing to play for. So how long does Philly keep their guys in? So it's like there's a lot of that going on that can change things, and then there's a lot of unknowns out there. But so we focus in on what we do know. We do have the contract incentive stuff. I'm not as high on that, but I mean, I remember when I faded Kittle on the year where he needed like 200 yards and whatever to get the tight end record. And they just allowed him to do it on the last drive of the game. Basically they just fed him. And I remember being so tilted. So that is something I will never forget. So I do have to look at these things, I guess. What are the biggest, we'll get into the motivation stuff with our plays, but is there any, you know, milestone, contract incentive things that like really stick out to you? Everyone's talking about Justin Jefferson needing 194 yards to break the single season record, but now we have coach speak about Minnesota, you know, potentially capping their guys in this game. And so how do we feel about that? Or is there any that stick out to either of you that you saw that you really are into this week?
No, just, I mean, I can't. The Justin Jefferson thing, Minnesota, I think that's one team that I'm just staying away from. I don't think those guys get full run. They don't need to. It sounds like they don't want to. They want to give backups some run. So I'm probably going to be off that game specifically. And some of these other milestones, like, you know, setting career highs and all that stuff, like set a single season record, like some of this stuff on Saturday slate, you know, with Mahomes, he needs like 430 passing yards to break the single season record. Okay, but that's not on the main slate. You know, Tom Brady has some, you know, milestones, single season records, stuff like that he has. But why the heck would the Bucs play their guys all throughout this game? I can't see it happening. I don't think it happens. So, you know, I don't see a lot that sticks out to me on the main slate specifically. You know, again, we could find some things. Obviously, Johan Dotson needs one more receiving touchdown for the rookie record, whatever. Like, there's stuff out there that you can pull. But to me, I'm with Kirkwood. I'm not focusing in on it. That's not my main focus for playing some of these guys, on this slate, at least for me.
I think game incentive stuff is much more important. So I'm kind of on the same page with both of you. Like, I'd rather just try to figure out who's actually playing for something, because I think that's so
and
much
there's
more
not that guys. Much from the game incentive standpoint, yeah, really and truly. A lot of the big stuff is on the Saturday slate. Guys like Zay Jones and Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Pat Mahomes, some of this stuff, but
Important games. So are they going to change their game plan to make sure they get,
that's the thing, you know, too. I mean, I don't want to get into the Saturday slate, cause you know, by the time this thing drops, it's going to be almost, the game will be locked probably, but you know, that's the thing. Like, they're not going to change their entire game plan to get Evan Ingram, 11 receptions and 61 yards. Like, could it happen? It could happen. He could get 11 catches, but they're not going to change their game plan to do what Kirkwood talking about, George Kittle, that one year where they just peppered him at the end. They're not doing that shit, you know?
It's like if A.J. Brown needed 100 yards to get some big bonus, he would definitely get it this week, because they're playing the Giants. The Giants have nothing to play for. It's feasible, right? Like, so they would go out of their way to do that. The game doesn't really mean anything except a win. So, like, that would be, like, an example. Or even a better example would be if the game meant absolutely nothing. But, like, you can't expect coaches or quarterbacks to have this in mind when really all they really care about is winning, because like they need this win for the playoffs. So that's what comes first. The rest is gravy. So you have to like kind of think about these things and think like, is it feasible and whatnot, and you go from there. But like, yeah, it's not playing a huge part of my process. I mean, I guess Justin Jefferson is the one I have to like actually think about, but that one The line is now moving down after the coach said that they're going to have a cap on their guys. They really don't have much to play for because they could go up to a number two seed, but San Francisco would have to lose to Arizona, and San Francisco's 14-point favorites. That doesn't look very likely. So, yeah, and then there, O'Connell has already said that even though his starters will play, that there'll be a hard cutoff. So
the line moving down is a big indication, right?
Yep, it is. And all right, so one little thing I just wanted to needle you a little bit, Bobby. It took us 17 weeks, but Tom Brady did finally get there. Right? But the problem is
guess who didn't play him.
You can't do it at seven.
Is Bobby didn't play him.
You can't. It's seven. So it's like martingaling, right? It only works until it doesn't work. But you like it starts the compounding factor just gets so high, like after like five times in a row, you know, it's just like you're just dead. You're like broke. So it's like 17 weeks would have been a lot. You would have had to have a huge bankroll to keep.
I got a question. So Bob, were you so angry watching that because you didn't play him,
pissed,
or were
I'll
you
perfectly
pretty
honest.
Happy that he finally did it? Like he finally.
I think you guys are trying to make this like I'm like this big Tom Brady. I've never done this. I got caught because I thought like that Mike Evans week, the first week for his Carolina, he dropped that bomb. And then I've just been waiting for Brady because the price
that
has
was
been
right in the beginning
year.
Of the game too, right, Bob? He caught
yeah.
that bomb.
And then,
it was like it would have been like a 70-yard easy touchdown.
I didn't take into consideration like the age and actually how much it's taken a toll on him. I feel like, and their offense has just sputtered the whole season.
No, but it was just like I was tilted at it. Like it was just like ridiculous. Like it was just Evans because everybody on the slate did nothing. Except Evans absolutely nuked. And then like the rub it in our face was like the QB sneak for Brady. Like he was like, come on, like you know what I mean? Like I played Lenny.
Like I've earned this reputation of a guy who just plays Brady every week. So I'm a Patriots fan, and that's not the case.
Well, that's okay because he shipped last week. So
I was just chasing a depressed price tag on a guy that I thought the talent was better.
We're just needling a little. We're having a little fun. Don't.
It's fine. I'm just pointing out. Like, I feel.
All right.
Like,
so you're not a fan of Tom Brady?
No, I am. But it's not like I need to play him like people play Patrick Mahomes every week. I'm not going to say any names. Well, last season, just chasing him.
Fair enough.
I was just chasing a tag that was going down and down and down.
So are you playing him this week?
No.
Okay,
dude. I played some Brady this year. I played some Brady myself this season, and I didn't have any.
JSU's the only one who did it. I still don't get why. I still don't get why.
I had Lenny thanks to you, JSU.
Those immobile quarterbacks. So I just
sold me on
Lenny.
You've played Brady previously, though. It's not like
I have.
You just noticed, and last year you noticed
has been terrible.
You noticed that the talent wasn't there. Well, I don't know. You noticed last year.
No, I just knew that the offensive line was sputtering from the beginning, and you know, you lose guys in the preseason. It makes a difference for a guy like Brady. But
it does.
You know.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll say this: I agree with that, but I also agree with that he played way worse than my expectations were of him this season.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he did have a lot of personal stuff going on, though. So we gotta. He's still like 46 years old playing quarterback.
His wife started hooking up with her fitness trainer. Like, it's a tough scene there.
The people don't want to hear about Brady. They want to know if we can roster head chopper at running back this week. That's what they want to know. Shout out to whoever said that comment last week in chat. It made me laugh. Said that he came for the see if we could roster head chopper this week, and it didn't disappoint. All right. So we're going to go position by position. Let's go over a couple of the motivation stuff first. Let's start with the AFC. So let's just give a quick rundown. So Cincy needs to win. And the reason they need to win is because they can actually get the number one seed, can move up from the number three seed. And they can't get the number one seed, but they can move up from three to two. With a win versus the Ravens. and a Buffalo loss versus New England. So that's not the most likely scenario, but the problem is really why they need to win, because if they lose to the Ravens, then they're going to be the 3 seed, and looks like the Ravens are going to be the 6 seed, and they're going to play each other. And because of this crazy missed game, they're going to do a coin flip to see who gets home field. So basically, if they lose this game, they have to flip for home field. So they don't want that. They should be playing.
By the way, that's the stupidest thing ever. Just because the Ravens would have beat them twice, they're saying that that is equivalent to someone just having an ultimate better record. So they're saying those two games are the same as the whole season, pretty much. Makes no sense.
I think the stupidest thing is actually adding more teams to the playoffs. And
saving that.
And then that's for money, Kirk.
And then after the fact, like Tennessee punted the game last week because it made absolutely no difference for them, but it turns out it does make a difference for them now after the fact, so that's just crazy to me. But again, this is all unprecedented stuff that we've seen. It's crazy. We don't need to talk about any of that. There's been enough talk about everything, but anyway, the whole situation was crazy. But the Ravens, they're going to be playing to win, but they're 9.5-point underdogs here. They can move up from 6 to a 5 seed with a win, but they also need a Chargers loss to Denver, which is somewhat possible because the Chargers will have nothing to play for if if Cincy beats the Ravens, the Chargers will have nothing to play for. So that's irrelevant. So they'll know. So if Cincy takes care of it, Cincy needs to take care of business, and they're going to take care of business. Pittsburgh is also another team that will be going all out because they clinch a number 7 seed with a win versus Cleveland, plus a Miami loss versus the Jets, plus a New England loss at Buffalo, which is likely. So, I mean, that the Jets could certainly beat Miami. New England could certainly lose to Buffalo, and then they just need to win versus Cleveland, who has nothing to play for. So they're going to be playing all out. The Jags are not on the slate, so that doesn't matter to us. So that's the AFC North. The East, Buffalo clinches a number 1 seed with a win plus a KC loss. If KC wins, Buffalo can drop to 2 seed from number 2 seed to number 3 with a loss to New England, plus a Cincy win in Baltimore. Long story short is they're going to be playing all out. The Pats need to win to get in, so they're going to be playing all out. The Dolphins need to win to get in, so they're going to be playing all out. So that's the AFC picture. So I guess it's Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, New England, Miami, all good teams we can play. Then on the other side, there's Minnesota. We already talked about that. There is the Detroit Green Bay game is not on the slate, although it's on FanDuel, right? Weird. The Bucks doesn't matter whatsoever, so they're going to be probably resting starters after by halftime. The Eagles does matter for just a win, but they're going to be playing the Giants, who have nothing to play for, and so they're going to be playing backups most likely. So kind of stay away there. So I guess the other big game to focus in on, the Seattle is going all out to a win. They need to win, and San Francisco needs to win. But San Francisco is playing Arizona and David Blau, so they might have an easier time and then, you know, get the game in hand and then be able to rest guys. But as long as it's competitive, they're going to be out there playing. So those are the games. Sorry, it's confusing to me as it is to all of you guys. But anything to add, you guys, or you guys just want to start with we'll start with running backs.
Let's bang up running backs.
Yeah, we can go to running backs.
All right, so running back. So what's going to be popular? So Kenneth Walker is going to be popular because he's in that. They need to win, right? They're playing the Rams, who don't have really anything to play for, but have not laid down, have been playing somewhat tough games. It's a tough rushing matchup in theory, but again, this is the last game of the season. How do the Rams lay down in this one at all? Anyway, you should expect them to pound the rock with Kenneth Walker. He got 23 rushing attempts in this last week versus the Jets, 133 yards, got one reception. It's going to be, you know, he's explosive. He can bust off huge plays. So he's like the safest running back because they need the game to win. Then there's our big boy Algier, Tyler Algier for Atlanta against Tampa, who should be playing their second stringers from most of this game or a lot of this game. And also Vita Vea is out. And JSU knows, like, that guy means like everything to me for like running against Tampa. He's like the huge run stopper that we've been talking about for years, that it's just, you can't get by that guy when he's out there, but not out there. So Algier, he's getting a huge workload. They don't like to pass much. 20 rushing attempts last week. Guy's a big boy, a power football guy. He could go off in the spot. McCaffrey is on San Francisco. I mean, McCaffrey was the play last week for sure. Bobby touted that one hard. Bobby, I had Jefferson sitting in my lineup and tanked over on DraftKings. But anyway, there's that. Najee Harris, I don't think he's going to be played enough. You know, he has looked better, to be honest. He looked decent in that game against Baltimore. I know he kind of got there luckily with that touchdown catch, but like the usage is there. I mean, they're just feeding this guy, even with him losing some of the workload. I mean, 22 rushes, three targets in the last game. So he's there. Then there's Cam Akers, who I played last week. There's Miles Sanders, there's Joe Mixon. So what are you looking at, JSU?
Yeah. So for me, looking at the running back position, Christian McCaffrey's going to get a ton of ownership. I'm probably not going to play Christian McCaffrey on this slate. I think even if he plays, which we'll see if he for sure plays, I don't know if that's out yet. You know, he got pulled from practice or whatever, so we'll see if they actually roll him out there. Even if they do, I think they roll him out there limited, if anything. I think Elijah Mitchell at 4K, if he's designated, I'm pretty sure he's designated to return for this week. And week 10, he got injured week 1. He came back week 10. First game back, had like 18 touches right away. So what I think happens is they get up. Elijah Mitchell is going to get heavily involved, and I think they just pull McCaffrey if he's in there. Who knows, though, if he plays. So even if he plays, I think I like Elijah Mitchell more. Other guys, I think Cam Akers are a really good play. He's been getting a ton of work for L.A. And I think that's a close game. I think the Rams in Seattle, I think the Rams play Seattle tough. I think that's a close game. You know, Seattle obviously wants to win or needs to win. But I think the Rams play him tough. And then I'm with you on like Najee. I think you can play Najee. It's a good matchup, obviously, really good matchup. Zach Moss has the nut matchup against Houston at 5,200. I think he's in play. Houston needs to lose, by the way. Like, they want to lose. They want that first round pick. They won't obviously play it that way. They're going to play, and they're going to, like, you know, obviously play to win, but they want that first overall pick. So I think Zach Moss could have a big game here. Lat Murray gets a good matchup. And the Chargers, for them, this is an interesting part of this slate. So the Chargers, if the Bengals were to lose, then the Chargers, I think, would play their starters because they would want to win because they could move up. But if the Bengals win, and this is, I'm pretty sure, a 1 and a 4 o'clock, you know, spot here, because the Bengals play at 1 and the Chargers don't play till 4. So if the Bengals were to win, I think the Chargers are going to rest a lot of their starters or not play them as much. And if that's the case, you know, Denver, one, I think they win the game. And, you know, you could obviously take them here. I think it's 3 right now. The spread's 3. I would like Denver still, but Lat Murray's going to have the nut matchup, and they could rest some defensive guys. So he might have an even better matchup, and he's 5'4". And I hate Lat Murray, but it's similar to Zach Moss. Like, both these guys are getting a ton of touches for their teams. They're both in really good spots at running back. So this is definitely a position where I think I'm playing a lot of these cheaper guys, and a lot of these studs I don't see much to play for. Dalvin Cook, I don't think, gets a ton of run. Saquon Barkley, you know, obviously he plans to play, but I don't think they're going to.
I don't even know if he will play. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he wants to play. I'm sure everyone wants to play a little bit, but he's not going to play that long. I already talked about the Chargers. So, like, if the Bengals win, no way they give Eckler's been wanting less the whole year. This is a spot where they could just rest him completely. So, no thank you on Eckler, unless the Bengals were to lose. That's like a late swap thing, though, right, guys? Like, you could be sitting on McCaffrey, just to give a scenario, right? You could be sitting on McCaffrey. I don't think the Bengals lose. I think the Bengals are just going to smash this week. But just for the sake of argument, let's say the Bengals do end up losing the game, and it's 4:05, and Arizona and the San Francisco and the Chargers both lock at 4:25. That's an easy swap you could make, you know, if you wanted to, that maybe not many people would do, where you go from McCaffrey to Eckler in tournaments, but you'd have to wait on it. You know, Joe Mixon, I'm probably not going to play here.
I kind of like Mixon.
Do we think Mixon's ownership comes in higher than what it's currently showing?
What's it currently showing right now?
Like,
Bob, I got like 11 and 15. Yeah.
No, I think it's around there. Why? What do you think it comes?
Because I'm seeing it hit optimals, and he's like the easiest fade, I feel like, at that price tag.
I kind of like him.
It's
a must win, and like that's a like when you get the game in control, you just feed Mixon. Like,
yeah.
So it's just like there's like and he's such a big part of the offense, and there's not like you got a grade on a curve this week. So I get it though. It's like typically I would want to fade it, but like I don't feel good about anyone. I kind of feel good about Mixon's workload.
So just, I know you're not a big prop guy. His rushing prop is like 53.5. I think it's kind of, for a $7,100 price tag, like that's not something I want to attack, but I get what your thought process
is. What are the highest rushing props?
Highest rushing prop is Kenneth Walker, 78.5. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Walker is easily my favorite running back. He's like the 6,400 guy we were supposed to be playing all year due to DraftKings pricing. Really like him. JSU's guy, Cam Akers, 74.5. I really like Cam Akers. Money on the over. Definitely want to get to him. I think it fits the construction of paying down at running back too. Najee Harris, I cannot roster Najee Harris, but he's at 70.5. I will end up considering, I usually don't roster him this week. I'm going to consider playing him just because, like Kirky said, you have to play it on the curve. He has looked better too.
And it's a nut matchup.
It's such a good matchup. Yeah. It's very difficult not to play him.
And they have to win.
I like the Elijah Mitchell call at 4K. Like they're going to feed him. I like Mitchell. His props aren't currently showing. But CMC, like, I have no interest at paying $9,300 for CMC this week, and maybe that's just a bad take, but I feel like you want to pay down at running back.
There is no way he plays a full game.
There's no way he plays. They have three running backs they can use.
So here's the thing, right? We got to admit there's a ton of variance in this spot. We don't know, right?
We can cap the ceiling. We can at least cap the ceiling, right?
Yeah, yes, for sure. But we don't know if Eli Mitchell is definitely going to be. Yes, he's looked good in practice. He's looking healthier.
No, we don't know. We can only go off of what's happened already, though. You know what I mean?
They may just have the game in hand and use TDP or Jordan Mason.
That's what, right? I'm saying. The tag is, can we afford that tag? Like, I don't know. It gets tough to pay that.
I mean, there's going to be value, too, that opens up. This is the other thing that we're not talking about, but by Sunday, you know, at 11:30, 12, we're going to see other people sit and rest, and value is going to open up. This guy's going to get the RB1 status, and he's going to be four. Like, we're going to see something like this with.
So we can all switch to Zonovan Knight and.
No.
CMC gets you 20. Are you fine with that? Or 24 to 25? Like,
I mean, I think on this slate, you would take 20 from a running back, honestly.
So then maybe I have to consider him at 9,300. I don't want to play him if I don't have to.
I'm off of him too. I'm just, there's a lot of talk going out there about Elijah Mitchell being like a good play. And maybe he is, but what I'm saying is there's like, we don't know. what the hell. Like, it could
that's
be
what makes him a good tournament play, though.
It makes him a good tournament.
I know, but I'm saying there's a lot of risk.
If you do, though, everyone would be on him. You got to take chances in tournaments. That's the point, right? Like, you know what I mean? We don't know.
I'm just talking like small field stuff. Like, I'm there's a lot of risk there, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And like, I don't think Najee Harris is risky.
I think Harris is risky too.
Well, we're not comparing Elijah Mitchell to, you're comparing him to a 6K guy. You know what I mean? He's 4K. You can't compare him to a 6K running back that's been the number one running back for the team all year.
Well, the thing is I'm not even like looking at price is the way I'm like, look, like I'm just trying to like feel comfortable with production.
No, that's fair. I'm just saying you can't compare those two. You know what I mean? Like, you could just say, I'm not paying down at running back. That's fine. You know what I mean? Like,
let's talk about this Jonathan Williams.
I was about to bring up Jonathan Williams. Yeah, I have no idea what to do with him at 4,300. Do you guys?
I'm not playing his ass. I think he sucks.
Dallas needs this game. Dallas is going to be playing, right?
They're definitely going to be. I would think they're going to be playing for sure. In the back of my mind, too, I feel like this Jarrett Patterson kid gets some work as well. So I kind of struggle even more with the Jonathan Williams play. He's going to get ownership.
He's like the optimal dart. Like, he's going to get projected into a lot of lineups.
I mean, they only have two running backs. It's Patterson and Williams. So I personally think the tournament play is running Patterson. I think he's better too, honestly. Like, I think he's like decent. I've seen him play. He's more of like a little pass catching guy, but I think they're down. I think it makes more sense for him to be out there if they're trailing. And I'm going to take a shot with him in tournaments. And we'll get to the quarterback situation.
I think you're Zach. I love your Zach Moss call. I wasn't even thinking about him. I just kind of overlooked him in my head. But like, yeah, they need to lay down Houston. I mean,
yeah.
And that should be at least a great matchup for him. There's another interesting one. Bobby might like this one because Bobby and I have played a lot of Foreman this season. Foreman is going to be out, maybe. He's looking iffy. So Chuba Hubbard potentially might shoot up a little bit. I don't know. Are you guys interested there at all?
I don't hate him. Is Blackshear playing? I like Blackshear too.
He'll probably
more for larger field. Well, 4K. I don't know.
Now here, I have a take on the Lat Murray stuff, and maybe I'm completely wrong, but I hate Lat Murray personally always. So like, I'm always looking for an excuse to fade this guy. And I know JS, you said the same thing, but like workload and a not matchup, he should be there for him. But like, if the Chargers are resting their players, doesn't this feel like let's build Russell Wilson's ego, right? Like, it's going to be like Russ is back, right? Like, he's going to throw three or four touchdowns and take over this game is what I'm thinking. Like, but
do you think Russ could have just been hindered by Hackett?
I think he sucks. Personally. I think both. I think that's a part of it, but I think Pete Carroll knew what he was getting rid of.
He's been around a long time, Pete Carroll, so probably had the eye for it.
Yeah, wow. I think he sucks too, but
I don't know. All right. Any other guys out there? Like, maybe like a J.K. Dobbins or
No J.K. I know James Conner's going to rest or sit out or he's hurt, whatever. So they're going to play like Clement and Keontae Ingram. They'll get some time, but are they Stoneman? They're not even like the Stoneman 4K.
Ingram's 4,800.
Do we talk about Algier at all?
Yeah.
Kirkland talked about him already.
I like him. I think I think this matchup – I mean, he's going to be playing second stringers, and at least I'm expecting that. And Vita Vea is out, so if Vita Vea is out, I love Algier.
Yeah, I like the Algier call.
And they're at home, right? In the dome.
Yeah, they're at home.
He just feels so safe. If you like step back from like the Tampa run matchup, like how it normally is, if you downgrade that.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about this guy? I don't even know this guy. Gary Brightwell for the Giants.
No, I can't play the Giants. We can't play Giants, right?
Breda.
Yeah, he's 5K. I can't do it. Philly needs to win. Philly's gonna wax this team.
All right. So what I took out of this, I'm just gonna give you credit. You thank you for getting me on Leonard Fournette last week.
You're welcome.
Didn't matter, actually.
This guy texts me. I got like 10K in play, and like $7,500 is probably on Leonard Fournette lineups. And this guy texts me like, thanks for getting, where's Lenny, JSU? And,
yeah.
And they're splitting the.
I was tilted,
which is
man.
So annoying, by the way, that they just were like, oh, yeah, we're going to give him a series and then this guy a series. And they started White. I was just
so high on Lenny. I thought it was like a lock. Like, I was so in on him.
Tampa Bay, man. They just were like, oh, yeah, we're just going to split this. I don't get it. Whatever. I mean, White's better, so I get that part. But why wouldn't you just do that the whole year if that's the case?
Yeah. And then the most tilting piece of that, too, was the fact that they gave him a carry at the 5. He got down to the 1.
Yeah.
And then they give Brady the sneak. Like, that was the most tilting part. And then, Mike Evans is just burying the slate, right? And it was just, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was over anyways because Mike Evans just buried us. I even got on Austin Eckler a good amount and Tyquan Thornton, and I still just got buried.
All right. Any last guys?
Nope, I think that's good for running back.
Let's take it on over to start the QB at the top, and then we'll pair it up with our wide receivers. All right, so Jalen Hurts is going to be the chalk, and we were talking pre-show a little bit about it because I don't feel so great about him. Because first of all, I mean, I do feel great that he's going to have a good first half, and as we've seen, you know, that can be enough with this guy, right? Like, but they do take their foot off the gas once they get the lead into the second half. They're playing a bunch of Giants backups. He's got a hurt shoulder. Like, it was questionable whether he's even going to definitely play, although the reports are that he's trending in the right direction and is going to play probably. But, like, so what do they do? Do they throw less with his hurt shoulder and then give him more running upside? But also it could be just a lot of Miles Sanders and running back work for the Eagles. So I think there's some risk here, and especially in the second half. So I'm kind of lower than the field is, at least like the group think is my feeling at this point. For everywhere I go, people are talking about him. I mean, to me, I feel better with playing Josh Allen for 200 more, even again, if New England's a tough matchup. And New England is a tough matchup, and they're going to be playing all out. But their corners are decimated. I don't think that New England's going to play. I think the Bills are going to take care of business in this game. I just don't have any confidence in New England as a team personally. And maybe I'm wrong there, but it just feels better. And Josh Allen has played good against New England. And then there's Joe Burrow, who I love. I feel strongly that he's going to be pushing, you know, in the pass game, and he's got such elite weapons. So I feel good with Higgins and Jamar Chase. Geno Smith is playing all out. I don't really like that because I'll take the Walker side. But, like, I could see Geno to Metcalf working out well. And I do like Russ Wilson, and I think he's going to get some ownership too because, God, I hate Russ Wilson. I think he's terrible, but, like, had a good game last week. There's, you know, some of the teammates have rallied around him, which I find kind of funny. I wouldn't have thought that, and I don't know if they're really being truthful, but at least they're, like, Jerry Jeudy's come out and talked about him and stuff, but there's easy, affordable, upside pass weapons if they're playing the Chargers backups, right? Like Jeudy, Cortland Sutton. So Russ is cheap. So I'm on board with that play, but that's kind of all I have interest in. I guess there's some other guys that maybe you guys will steer me on, but that's where I'm looking. Bobby, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so for me, I know the majority of the field's going to Jalen Hurts. I won't be going to Jalen Hurts because of the point you made. Like, we've seen multiple times this year where they have taken their foot off the gas. I think it's going to be a run-heavy game plan versus the Giants. Giants aren't playing. Their starters just don't want to deal with 8,200 Jalen Hurts. I know it's could burn me, but I'd rather go to Josh Allen, 8,400. I think he's in a good spot. Just pay the extra 200 versus New England. Don't mind Burrow. Like, Burrow, I feel Burrow could have a huge game this week. And I know people are going to be playing Mixon. I don't think the ownership is really showing what it actually could be. I think it could hit like 18 to 20%. So I think Burrow at 7,300 and pairing him with one of his receivers isn't the worst idea versus a Baltimore secondary. They don't really care what the situation is. They're not playing a ton of starters. Geno Smith at 6K. I don't mind Geno. I feel like you can make the Metcalf thing work. I also like him with Kenneth Walker. I think that's an interesting way to build it in tournaments. Russ at 5,400. Playing this Chargers secondary, you hit on all the reasons why, like, this might be a good play. There was a little pep in Russ's step last week, I feel like. He was running a little bit. 5,400. It's not a bad price tag. Andy Dalton versus Carolina. Carolina got absolutely shredded by Tom Brady, who's been pretty much hasn't been great all year. I like Rashid as kind of a value. Don't mind going to him. That would be it, though. Like, I'm not paying Dak. I never play Dak. 6,600, not getting to that. Yeah, I don't think I really have much interest in Kirk Cousins. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
JSU.
The best part about this slate is with me fading the upper tier running backs and so many mid tier and cheap running backs, and fact that I can find value on this slate, I think this slate for quarterback super play these studs mainly. Like, I like Joe Burrow the most. I like Josh Allen, then Jalen Hurts if I had to rank them. But I think I'm going to play mostly Joe Burrow and Josh Allen at the top. And these two games, they all four teams in these two games all have something to play for. They're all playing for something. They all want to win. You can't say that about a lot of these other games where both teams at least have scenarios where if they win, they could have a chance to move seedings or whatever, get a bye, whatever the case may be, get into the playoffs. And you can say that about these two games. So I think Joe Burrow's one for me. I think they just put it on Baltimore. I think they score a ton here. And Josh Allen, too. After that, like the mid-tier of quarterback all the way down to these cheap guys, I don't really want much to do with. The one guy in like Millie Makers I may take a chance on if I play like 150 would be Sam Howell, just because he's 4,900. And I think Dallas can score on Washington. I think that at 4,900, he's someone no one will play that, you know, you could take a shot on. But I don't want to get too cute on this slate. Like, I just think playing Burrow, playing Allen, even Hurts, you can throw him in the mix, obviously. Like, those three guys, their teams need to win or want to win for, you know, these scenarios. So I'm just going to put my money on them. And there's value. Like I said, there's going to be value on this slate. Bobby talked about a cheap receiver already. There's going to be plenty of cheap receivers we can find. There's cheap running backs out there, cheap tight ends. You know what I mean? There's no Kelsey on this slate. San Francisco, once they get up, I think Kittle, you know, won't play the whole game if they're just up. So you can make the case like it's going to be easy to find value. And so I'm just going to take my shot on these stud quarterbacks mainly.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think what we've taken away from this show is that we both, all three of us, like Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. And the chalk is going to be Jalen Hurts. And yes, he's fine, but we both have him below. All three of us have him below Allen and Burrow. So I think that's what I take away is just hone in there. Now, in like large field stuff, we're going to lose, right? I feel like, you know, like one of these guys is going to do something that like I have no idea, whether it's Sam Ellinger, Joe Flacco, Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett, you know, like somebody's going to have like a big freaking game, but I have no idea. But I'm just not playing guys like Skylar Thompson or, you know, all those like,
he's so bad. God, he's so
but bad. Like how bad, like if you can just hit a little quick out to Tyreek Hill or Waddle and let them do their thing. I mean, but yeah, he is bad. The one guy I'm kind of interested in because I feel like Cleveland's not going to lay down and Deshaun Watson's playing for like his,
I think this is a really good call. By the way,
future. He's like the one guy that kind of sticks out to me, right? Like for like 5,600, Pittsburgh secondary has been trash all season. They're pretty good at stopping the run. Amari Cooper is in a good spot. Amari Cooper has some incentives, right? Like I think he needs 80 yards or something. Don't quote me on that, but it's somewhere around there. So like Deshaun Watson is like that one outlier guy that I think I might play in some of my small field stuff.
I like
the Watson. I would just play Cooper and get a little Watson that way. But yeah.
Dak anybody?
I think Dak sucks, to be honest.
I like the Cowboys offense a little bit against this Washington secondary. I just the games in Philly and San Francisco, if they get out of hand and Dallas is, you know, up going into the third quarter, do they just pull their guys? You know what I mean? Like, how do they even do that? Because really and truly, Dallas needs Philly and San Francisco to lose. And, I mean, is it possible? Very highly unlikely both those teams lose, right? So if Dallas sees both those teams up, do you think they pull their guys? That's my one question. Like, I don't know. So, like, for me, Dak, I just don't know if I'm going to play Dak. But I could play some CD and take the chance he nukes in, like, a half.
Question for you. People are going to play Andy Dalton. Why? Is it because that we
Tom Brady just saw what Tom Brady just
because they're
The secondary's trash.
They're decimated. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, are we confident that like Dalton is even going to play the whole game?
I mean, I don't like it. It's another situation. I like my guy Shaheed. I've been playing him, you know, but I don't think you need to like play Dalton. They got Taysom Hill. Like, who the heck knows what kind of gimmicks and stuff like that, which hurts Dalton. I'm away. And Carolina likes to run the football. I know the Brady thing, he got 40, but, yeah, it's people chasing from last week. I'm not going to chase with that.
All right, let's move it on over to wide receiver unless we've covered every QB. Okay, wide receiver. Okay, the top of the top here that's going to be played from an ownership standpoint on the high end is Justin Jefferson, and that's because everybody's talking about this statistical milestone. And, he, you know, man, he wrecked me last week. 2.5 fantasy points. Like, who the hell would have predicted that? Absolute craziness. Garrett Wilson, the Jets actually have something to play for now? Is that even true?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Is there like a scenario? Are they completely done, or is there a scenario somehow with the extra team?
I think they're completely
I don't think
done.
They can get in. I think they're okay. Out completely.
All right.
Miami's okay. The one that has a chance. That Miami needs New England to lose, and they need to win to clinch the 7, I think, right?
Yep. Garrett Wilson's going to be popular. So I'm interested to hear your guys' takes there. Ja'Marr Chase, he's probably the guy I like the most because I feel good about Cincinnati just trying to stick it, you know, to Baltimore in a game where they both of these teams need to win. So I like him. There's Olave, who does have some like statistical stuff. He needs 156 receiving yards to set the Saints rookie record. Right. Do they care? I don't know. I think so. I think they probably do care. I think that's one they may go for. But I also do like Shahid, you know, and he's going to be a little bit popular this week. But like he's just good. And, you know, they got a diamond in the rough there. So he has that big play potential. He's cheap. You can do a lot with it. There's guys like Cortland Sutton who are going to get some ownership. Diggs, I like give me Diggs against these weakened corners of the Pats here with Josh Allen. I feel like we're getting a discount because Diggs hasn't been, you know, been playing well. Like he's had a rough three last games. He's 7,900. We can make this work with some of the other cheap plays. So that's one of my favorite stacks. DK Metcalf. Because he's, you know, Lockett is still banged up a little bit. I think Lockett is trending towards playing, but like why mess with him much? Metcalf would be the guy against, you know, the Rams may lay down in this one. They may not, as JSU said, he thinks it's going to be a tight game. So that's something to think about, but they may lay down a little, and that certainly is important for Seattle. I know CeeDee Lamb has some, I think he needs like 10 catches or something to set like the past Michael Irvin's record. So there's a lot of kind of big names and stuff we can feel good about. But and then on the cheaper end, I've been playing this guy for the past few weeks, but Drake the Snake, as Bobby knows, Drake London. We talk about him every Grinders Lies Sunday morning. I keep trying to make him go off. He's been fine. The targets have certainly been there. 12, 11, 9, and 8 in the last few weeks. Should be playing in against a backup secondary for a lot of big portion of this game against Tampa. So I think this is finally the blow up spot for him. But those are some of the names that I'm looking at. I also like Amari Cooper, who's going to be should be lower owned, kind of. And I don't know. Give me some guys who feel more strongly about some wide receivers, JSU or Bobby.
I do like you can go JSU.
I was just going to say, I don't know about strong. I feel strong that I just want to pair, you know, my guys with my stud quarterback. So I'm obviously at the top. I like Chase, Diggs, T, like, cause I'm playing Burrow Allen. So I'm going to be playing those receivers. I would probably rank them actually Diggs, Chase, T. And the only reason I say that is cause the Chase T thing, every time I feel like Chase is going to go off, it's T. And every time I feel like T is going to go off, Chase goes off. So I feel like that's a tougher one to hit. I think Diggs, though, can definitely smash. I like him against the the New England corners, like you were saying, Kirkwood. So I'm definitely going to be on them. The other guy that won't get as much ownership is CD at the top. He'd be my fourth, like, stud. I could see him smashing here, even in, like, two or three quarters, even if they, like, pulled him after because the game got out of hand or whatever. I could see him putting in big work. I'm not really in on much of the other guys at the top, all the way down to – I think I'm going to go right to Cooper, DJ Moore range. I think both those guys are in play. Garrett Wilson, if he's going to be popular, I'll probably stay away from him. Maybe I'll go for like a cheap jet or something like that to pivot off of him with. Gabe Davis in your Josh Allen stacks, of course, is fine. He's not someone I'm going to focus in on, though. I don't really love the Pittsburgh guys, like the Pittsburgh running game. I'm not on the Chargers. Washington, I like a little Jahan Dotson at 4,500. I think that's a nice price tag for him, so I can play some of him. Shaheed, for sure, I'm going to play a little bit of. And then I think you could pick out like a Rams receiver too if you wanted to, like a Van Jefferson type, Tutu Atwell. You can pick out one of them and hope they kind of crush. Corey Davis at 3,500, or Elijah Moore at 3,400. Those would be the pivots off of like Garrett Wilson, and since he's going to be chalked too. I don't have a strong – I think Elijah Moore is more talented, but I think Corey Davis is right now just more established, a little better. And so I get it would be one of them. I don't have a strong feeling on, like, one over the other, though. So that's kind of what I'm looking at right now, a wide receiver. You know, I don't have any, like, crazy wide receiver takes for some of these other guys. We got to kind of wait and see – on some of these teams, but yeah.
Yeah. Just going to throw in there, piggyback you on your Dotson from a milestone. He needs one receiving touchdown to set a Washington rookie record. So maybe that's important. I did look up the Amari Cooper thing. He needs 81 receiving yards to set a new career high, which is would pass his career high that he had in Dallas in 2019. So that could be important there. But Bobby,
are you laughing, JSU? What are you laughing at? You're on mute.
I just got a funny text message. It has nothing to do with the show. It was just a funny text message, so I was just laughing. Sorry.
What were you thinking, Bobby?
So for me, like, I think there is, like, one of the issues in construction is paying up.
Bobby just dropped it and just started talking about the slate after you asked him a question.
Oh, what was I?
He thought I was asking what is he?
I thought he was asking what he was thinking of wide receiver. Yeah, why are you laughing? Let's go off on a little tangent here. What was the joke that was so funny?
Oh no, it wasn't a joke. My buddy just texted me something. I was laughing about it. It wasn't a joke. It was just my buddy was texting me something. I chuckled. It made me chuckle.
Nice. I noticed the smile. I was just saying. Seeing what was going on. Justin Jefferson at 9,100. Like, I think you could play him. Kirkwood mentioned at the top of the show, like, the line's kind of gone down in his prop. Is that correct?
The line for the Vikings went from 7.5 to 6 as they announced that they're going to be playing less, not a full workload for starters.
Yeah.
You can't play Giants on this slate, right?
No Giants for me, but I was just saying, like, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm not paying up for either Justin Jefferson or McCaffrey. I do think there's interesting, like, pay-ups at the wide receiver position. JSU kind of hit on all the main guys that you pair with your QBs. I think guys that are slipping through the cracks, CeeDee Lamb, 8,200. Chris Olave, like, if everyone's going to play Shaheed, I like Shaheed, but I wouldn't mind paying the 6K for Olave, who's chasing an incentive. I think they'll try to get him that, like Kirky said. So I don't mind Olave at all. I think these guys are going to be lower owned. I like Cooper a good bit. Lockett, if we're getting that news late, 6,400. I like him. Metcalf is fine as well. I like Geno a good bit. I think I prefer T to Chase. I just have been, like, I feel like it's been more of a two-year than a Chase year. So 7,600 saving on Chase. I feel like I could do that. No AJ Brown. I'm not playing any Jalen Hurts. So no Devontae Smith for me. Yeah, I don't know. It'd probably be my favorite receiver would be probably be Olave, then Cooper. Obviously, in terms of like cheap guys, Garrett Wilson, Drake London are going to be plays that I'm going to get to just on the cheaper side that allow value. But I think playing one of these receivers that is kind of obscure relative to construction is the way to go. I think that you get that with Olave, CeeDee Lamb, Lockett, and then T. Higgins. Stephon Diggs is fine as well, like him versus the Pat secondary. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I'm playing. I already decided now. As we've been doing this show, I'm playing Allen Diggs, and I'm going to try to get Amari in there, and I'm going to try to get Drake the Snake London in there.
We like Garrett Wilson. Like Garrett Wilson's showing, like he's going to be owned. I've been playing him all year. I'm just wondering what we're doing this week with them not playing for much.
Yeah, I'm kind of taking an underweight approach, fading him. We did get some news. Jadeveon Clowney is going to be out now, is what we were expecting. But he's like one of their best run stoppers, so that just gives more of a boost to Najee.
Yeah, so. Najee's got to be a decent play. The other guy too, the flop lag play, Bobby. I'm surprised you weren't on this, but Greg Dortch was chalk last week. I'm surprised you're not going right back to the Dortch train. They're going to be trailing.
The Dortcher chamber.
Yeah. Torture chamber. I mean, they're going to be trailing the whole game probably, right? Like, they're going to have to throw.
I would think so. I don't know if I can do the Dortch thing, though. Maybe. We have so much value. Like, are we going to need Dortch, you think?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. It's more of a last pop play. I'm not saying really plug them in all your teams, but.
I got a question for this slate today.
Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd at 4,600. If we're playing Burrow, we have to at least consider some Tyler Boyd.
Oh, first thing I want to add, yeah, I had Tyler Boyd in Showdown, and that got canceled. I was pissed. Not that I was really mad, but Stephon Diggs needs two receiving touchdowns to set a Bills single season record. That could play out potentially. Here's a question I have. This is not part of the main slate, but Devontae Adams needs 13 receptions to set a Raiders single season record. Does he care about holding a Raiders single season record? Would you think?
No, but maybe the Raiders care about getting them the single season.
Because they want to, like be like, look, we paid all this money for this big time receiver and yeah. Record right now, even though.
Yeah.
I think so. McDaniels wants something to hang his hat on. Like that would be. Like yeah, he sat.
Who's the owner? Who's the guy who looks like STL? Who has the STL cards haircut? The owner.
Oh,
who?
What the owner of the Raiders?
Mark Davis.
Yeah, he's got the STL cards haircut. Chop had the best tweet ever I've seen at one time. It was like it showed the picture of Mark Davis' haircut, and it said, "Hey, barber, what's up, Mark? Give me the STL cards."
Jeez.
It was hilarious. One of my favorite tweets. All right. Let's turn it on over to tight end. Man, it's tough enough to pick any of these normal positions. Now we got to talk about tight end. But I do like Pat Freiermuth. I always like Pat Freiermuth. I like tight ends against Cleveland. I do like that they have everything to play for. So I don't like that he's going to be chalky. He's should be pretty chalky this week. Mark Andrews is cheap. Problem is he just does not have a decent quarterback, but he did have 22 fantasy points and caught nine balls in his last game on nine targets. So kind of came back from the dead there. So he's going to be kind of the easy play because it's a must. You know, they're going to be going out to try to win this game too. Just stinks that he doesn't have Lamar. But anyways, he'll be there. People are going to play Dallas Goedert. I'm not, because I tell you, I feel like they're just going to run the ball down the Giants' throat in this game, personally. But I get it. And Njoku has some contract incentive, or has something. He needs two receptions and 54 receiving yards for a new career high, if that means anything. So he could be in play anyway. But like Tyler Higbee's been just getting peppered. Didn't have a big game in his last game against the Chargers. But the weeks before that, he had a week before that, he had 11 targets against Denver. I mean, he's been hit or miss all season, mostly miss, but started off extremely hot. But anyway, Baker does lock in on him. Albert O, I hear, getting talked about. I mean, he's super cheap, and it's Dulcich is gone on the IR, so he's the next man up. He had a lot of preseason hype, never really became much of anything.
No, when Dulcich was there.
Yeah, I know. Dalton Schultz, I kind of like Dalton. I mean, he feels pretty somewhat safe to me. I don't know. I don't like any of these guys, to be honest with you. I like Freiermuth the best, maybe Mark Andrews. Those are chalk, but I hate the fact that they're chalk. So I don't know. Tell me what to do. Do we play Jelani Woods?
I like the Njoku pivot off Freiermuth. The Freiermuth's going to be chalky. Not that Freiermuth's bad chalk, but Njoku's 3,900 and Freiermuth's 3,800. And I'm warming to Deshaun Watson, Cooper. So I feel like that stack is interesting.
Hunter Henry?
I could play a little Hunter Henry, I think.
In a big,
is
big
3K? Game. Is he still 3K?
3,300.
Yeah, I could get on some Hunter Henry for sure. It would be nice if Johnny was out again, but he might play. But still, I think you could play him for sure. Hayden Hurst is 3,100. I could play him in my Burrow stacks, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, he was getting pepper to start the game, too.
Yeah, Tyler Conklin's 3,600. If you didn't want to play Garrett Wilson, maybe he's the pivot instead of the wide receivers, actually. Play a little Tyler Conklin at 36. If I had to play a chalk tight end, it'd be Andrews just because I'm on that Cincinnati game and both teams have something to play for. And then Higbee. I think those are my four tight ends right there. I just gave you a tight end pool.
The Dolphins have gotten decimated by tight ends all season. They rank third in most fantasy points allowed, DK points per game to the tight end position. So I do like that Conklin call. Going to move him up the list.
Yep.
Yep. Bobby.
Tight ends. Yeah. Like I said, I like Njoku. Freiermuth, I think, is fine chalk, but don't mind the Njoku pivot. Outside of that, like there's two. I like Goddard 4,900. I think he's fine. I don't like Hurts though, so I don't know how much I'm gonna play him. I don't mind Mark Andrews. It's tough to like fade a tight end because there's just, I know I'm saying I want to play, I just want to be overweight on Njoku. And outside of that, like I think Hunter Henry's a good play, 3,300. There's not much I really like here, though. You guys like Jelani Woods, 2,900?
He's another, okay. I don't really.
It's another like flop. That's a flop lag spot.
My issue is Sam Ellinger. How much does he like? He's just not a. He's just not good. But Houston, if we think they're going to lay down, the Colts are going to win. They're going to score somehow, right? So maybe it is Jelani. Maybe we should get on a little Jelani too.
The Higbee run back, I think, is fine, like you guys talked about, if you're playing.
Yeah.
If you're playing a secondary of Seattle or just playing Geno stacks or something.
I mean, let's be honest. A lot of this offense, I know last week wasn't that great, but a lot of this offense has been mainly Higbee and Cam.
And Akers and Higbee, yeah.
They're super condensed.
All right, Bobby. I know you've been studying. You've been studying this all week.
Been studying it all week, yeah.
The last week 18 defensive pick.
Yeah.
What do we get? I mean, the 49ers were a bust last week, right?
Were they? Yeah.
They were horrendous. They gave up like a million points. They were awful.
We talked about fading them, right?
The Packers were the ended up being the play. I played the Rams like an idiot.
I played some 49ers, but I also played – I think we talked about the Rams. I played the Rams. They didn't do great either.
No, they were terrible.
Yeah, pivot defense for me. Just looking through here.
Well, so the Jets are facing, they're going to be chalk, right? They're facing the Jets are chalk. Skylar Thompson.
Do we eat the chalk at 2,600? I don't mind eating some chalk. I
mean, they're not going to be like major chalk. That's not like a 49ers situation. So I don't think it'll be bad.
I think paying up to like the Bills defense isn't the worst idea at 3,800. I think paying up at defense is fine this week. Maybe the Saints 35. I don't know. You guys have any ideas?
God, there's no conviction in that take. Come on, Bobby. Give me a defense. I'm not playing the Bills or the Saints now. I need conviction from Bob.
Oh, my God. Conviction.
Give me conviction. I got one.
I know who you're going. Does it begin with a C?
No way.
Chargers?
Colts. I thought you were going to go Colts.
What's Houston's your defense? Lay down the so I can Colts steal it again.
It's the Colts. The Colts defense has been good.
That's what I said. So I just nailed it.
You nailed it. I don't know how you got it.
I have a defense. Okay. The Colts at 3,100.
Yeah. here it is. So there's Bobby. Bobby's on the Colts. JSU's passing this week, and
JSU didn't pick this week. He skipped out.
If you want to pay up, the Cowboys seem like the spot to pay up.
I think you should pay up. I definitely think that that's the route to go.
Or the Eagles. You're
getting off the Jets. The Jets are good at 2-6, though.
I mean, why not go to the other side of that game and play the Dolphins against the statue of Joe Flacco? He's going to stand back there and, I mean, he's going to take some sacks. He's just going to take some sacks. Miami's playing for a spot in the playoffs. Like, he's going to take some sacks. I think that if the Colts are my first defense, and then after that, it's the Vikings and the Dolphins are the next two for me.
Colts D, Zach Moss, how can you go wrong?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
All right. Our favorite stack? I think so. I'm just gonna we'll give our favorite stacks and then we'll call it a show here. But I'm gonna start it off, but because I don't want you guys taking the one that I was gonna take, so I'm gonna start it off with I'm playing Allen to Diggs, and I might run it back with Hunter Henry, although it's a tough matchup, but I'm not sure if I want to run back anybody, but if I do, it'd probably be Hunter Henry. I don't know. Is there any other New England receiver or anything that you guys like?
No.
I mean, Tyquan Thornton's been really good, and Mac Jones is terrible. Tyquan Thornton would have probably had another touchdown or two if Mac Jones was even decent at football, but he's not. Now you got Devontae Parker back, though, is the issue.
We need Stidham.
Yeah, we need Stidham. Oh, God.
Crazy.
Influencer.
Stidham. Anyway, so I'm doing that. I'm gonna be feeding in, guys. What I've taken away from the show, I'm going to be feeding in my running backs. It's going to be – I do like Algier. I do like Kenneth Walker. I'm going to play some Zach Moss. I'm going to play I'm going to play Najee Harris for sure. Other wide receivers, I'm going to play Amari and Drake. And then I'll figure out my D, but I do like the Colts D. I'm with you, JSU. It's Allen to Diggs. What's your favorite stacks?
For me, I'll go with the Bengals. And with the Bengals, I think everyone's going to play Chase, and I love Chase. But when everyone plays Chase, I just feel it's just the weirdest thing ever. But whenever this happens, I feel like it's the other dude. So I'm going to go with the Joe Burrow to T. And I'll throw in Tyler Boyd just because he's super cheap. He doesn't need a lot to pay off that price tag at $4,600. That's like really cheap too. That's like it's got to be like one of the cheapest price tags he's had this year, right?
You could go Hurst too.
You could go Hurst too and just fill up that tight end spot. But Okay, it's not the cheapest he's been all year. He's been 4,500, but this guy's consistently in like the 5K range price tag. So, Boyd or Hurst, I'm going to pair it with T. And again, not to say I won't have a little chase, but on my main team, I will do this pivot just to the ownership is just crazy. You're talking at a chase is going to be 20 and T's not going to be owned. Like, I just think it makes so much sense in tournaments. So I'm going that way, but I love the Bengals. I think the Bengals crush. You can even play it too, where you don't even run it back. Bengals win this game like 38-10. And everyone who plays Burrow will probably play Andrews. So that's why I'm thinking like you could play it where you don't even run it back at all. And you just, you know, hope Andrews busts or something like that. Or maybe you play like Likely or something like that at 2,800 or something instead of Andrews. So that's another tight end play. If you're stacking in MME, I think you could keep him in your player pool. If you're stacking Joe Burrow, keep a little Likely in the pool and run it that way.
Yeah. So for me, I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns. You guys kind of talked me to them. I like Deshaun Watson. I like Cooper and I like Njoku. I think that'll be like the main core of my stack. Cooper and Njoku both chasing incentives. Watson has something to play for. I think there's good run back opportunity with Freiermuth or for that matter, Najee Harris. We've always seen like these obscure games go off week 18, week 17, whatever it is now, they add an extra game. So I think this Pittsburgh Cleveland game could go on their own for that just because it's people want to play the stud quarterback. I want to play the stud quarterbacks too, but I think my pivot is going to be to Deshaun in this Cleveland stack.
All right. I got a crying baby in the background. I don't know if you could hear, but let's go out on like that. But thank you, everybody. It's been a long season. It's been a great season. I was profitable, so I'm happy. Let's smash all three of us. Let's smash this weekend. Let's smash this two-game slate and then come back strong tomorrow. Then so we can lay down a monster Super Bowl bet. You know, that's the plan. But it's been a pleasure. JSU, thank you for coming back on the show with me.
Thank you guys for having me.
Glad I made that call to try to make this happen. I felt like it needed to happen. Bobby, thanks for joining us for your first season, and hopefully we'll be back next year or something. But regardless, it's been a great season. Like you both guys, like personally as friends, so I had a lot of fun. Any goodbye to the people?
Yeah, appreciate everyone who watched. If you want any more, obviously, of my content, rumpiersports.com. You can check it out. Full player pools. NBA still going on. Golf's just taking off now for these guys. So we got everything, all sports. Check us out over there if you're interested in any other sports and content. We got it for you. So hope you guys enjoyed the show. Hope you guys had a good year. And, we'll see you. We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll see you guys next year. And give us a comment in the section if you enjoyed it, what you liked, what you didn't like, you know, so we can talk about it for next year and stuff going forward.
Yeah, I feel the same. Appreciate all the listeners. Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoyed doing this all year. We made it work. It was tough scheduling. JSU does a ton of shows. Me and Kirky have other content too obligations, so This was kind of, because it's a recorded show, we had to like find good times for us all to do it. It was tough at times. We get the kids and stuff this year, but we all made it work. I like that we were able to come together each week and kind of figure it out. So looking forward to doing this again.
All right. So that's been the RG in collaboration with Run Pure Sports Tournament Takes Podcast week 18 edition. And, we will see you sometime. Thanks for listening.